Let us pray. Transform us, O Christ, by your touch, by your word, by your presence, and by your acts. Transform us. Show us what it truly means to follow and to serve. In hearing of your holy word, may our hearts and minds be open to the truth of your breaking into our lives and changing us forever. We offer this and all our prayers in your strong name, O Christ. Amen. Today, we continue our journey through Lent. It's only the second week, but it is a journey. Last week, we met Christ outside the city with friends, where he performed the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. But for the rest of our time as we make this journey, all the way leading up to Palm Sunday, we're going to experience the Christ in some of his most intimate moments before the crucifixion. Indeed, until Palm Sunday, we find ourselves hearing stories that we might normally only hear during Holy Week, those last few days leading up to Good Friday and beyond. It's the Passion narrative. And it begins here in an upper room. It's a scene that we know well, because it is on this night and in these readings that Christ shares bread and feeds more than the body. He shares wine that slakes the thirst for justice. Here, Jesus is gathered with his closest friends, the disciples. He brought them here to eat one last time with them, to teach them one last time, and to pray for them one last time. But following the meal, Jesus did something that some of his disciples found strange, even to the point of asking Jesus not to do it. He washed their feet. It wasn't strange because people were as weird about feet in those days as we are today. Indeed, it was common, as Michelle pointed out. What confused the disciples, specifically Peter, was that Jesus was doing it. He was their teacher, their Lord, their Messiah. How could he stoop so low as to washing my feet? I'm sure that's a thought that was running through Peter's mind. He was so concerned about Christ sullying himself with the dirt of his feet that he pushed back, saying, "No, you will never wash my feet." So unworthy of this act does he feel. But why does he feel unworthy? Peter's one of the first disciples. He's been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. He's seen what Jesus has done. He's come to know the ministry of this man, this Son of God. He's come to know the love that embodies everything that Jesus says and does. Why would he even try to stop Jesus from doing something that simple and yet so amazing? This transforming thing, after all that he's seen and experienced as a follower of Christ. But this question should not be new to us. Indeed, it should sound quite familiar to us. How many of us know someone like Peter? How many of us are just like Peter? We can't wrap our brains around why something as awesome and as amazing as God would be interested in little old us. We think that we, small and insignificant as we are unworthy of that attention, let alone the love that is expressed in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the inbreaking of God into our world, or the movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst and in our lives. It's actually worse when it isn't a conscious thing, when we think that we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can do without the mending work of the reconciling Christ. Thank you very much. This is actually one of the great barriers in our world today when it comes to sharing the redeeming love found in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth is, when we get right down to it in our faith, when we look deep inside ourselves, we'll find that we are a broken people. That we are imperfect. That with God we find wholeness, with Christ we find healing, and with the Holy Spirit we find a way forward. But we live in a society that tells everyone that you're just perfect, just the way that you are. Don't get me wrong, I think that we are all beautiful, created children of God. But we are far from perfect. Both as individuals and groups of people, we are far from perfect. We fight amongst each other over resources, over opinions. We're jealous of what others have, even when we have more than enough. We disagree with each other, sometimes just because we don't like the other person. They might be right, but gosh darn it, I don't like them enough to agree with them. We are broken. But we do not like, and indeed we hate, when someone implies that we are anything other than perfect just the way that we are. That there are some things in this world that we are incapable of doing on our own without the help of another human being, let alone a divine one. And yet, even into a broken world, God reaches out. God reaches out and takes on the form of those who walk this broken world. And through that form brings love and grace that have no end. Even when we don't ask for it. Even when we don't want it. The denial that Peter offers, the rejection of the Messiah sinking so low as to wash his feet, is mirrored by the world's reaction to God entering that world in the form of an infant. The world can't make sense of it. The feet washing is a symbol for the cleansing of the souls for a journey that lies ahead. And the birth in the stable is a symbol of the redemption of the world. And both of these lowly acts point across time to the greatest and the lowest of acts. Because the work of forgiveness is not completed in the washing of the feet. And the work of redemption is not completed in the birth in the stable. In Lent, we are on a journey towards something. Towards the cross. What is the cross? For us, it's something. But for that world, for Jesus' world, it was a symbol of humiliation. Of dehumanization. Punishment only for those of society who are no longer fit to be part of society or to even bear the name human. That's what crucifixion was for the lowest of the low, less than dirt. And yet this symbol of ultimate humiliation has become for us a symbol of hope, a symbol of forgiveness and love. That is the power of God in action, folks. The turning of a birth in a dirty stable into a miracle. The turning of a simple foot washing into an act that opens up the kingdom for all who partake. And the turning of the cross from terror to triumph. God does these things not to showcase power, but to remind the world of the love with which it was created in the first place. It is out of that great love for us that God continually strives through prophets and parables, through Psalms and through the Son, to reach out for us, to embrace us, to mend the brokenness that we spend our lives trying to hide. So let's stop hiding. Let's stop shying away from the light, afraid of what it might reveal in us. Let's stop flinching from the touch of Christ, afraid that we might be transformed, even for the better. Let us listen to the whispered words of the Holy Spirit and find out how we are called to be partners in the work of creation, even as we share the good news of the love that will not let us go. That's what we find here in our gospel reading today, in the story as a whole of Jesus Christ. It is a story of the love that will not let us go to the point of breaking into our world, grabbing us by the hand, and leading us on. Let us celebrate that great love even as we share it with one another. Amen.